to the TV Kids Festival. I'm Kristen Brusnowski, the executive editor of TV Kids, and I'm speaking with Emma Watkins, who is empowering the next generation through movement, creativity, inclusiveness, and friendship with her new show, Emma Memma. Great to speak with you, Emma.
You too. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for joining us. I'd love to hear, how did your career in children's television kick off?
Well, I guess for me, growing up as a dancer, I never really thought that I would be involved in children's entertainment, but I was teaching dance for many, many years to six-year-olds and was loving it, teaching jazz and ballet and tap and auditioning for lots of different shows at the same time. And I just happened to receive an audition notice for The Wiggles for a ballet dancing fairy. And then I auditioned, and then the last 10 years has happened.
Since then, and including your time with The Wiggles, what have you learned about children's ability to learn through song and movement?
I mean, we've learned so much, and not just myself and the team, but people around the world have been researching the benefits of music and dance and movement for children for, you know, so many years. And there's such a plethora of research that supports movement and music in children's learning. But really, I think something that we learned many, many years ago was that connection that children have to associate concepts and words with music just helps their understanding of that particular subject. And so it's lovely to be able to use media now to combine all of those forms and give children options. I think in the past we've been so, I guess, laser focused on just one, whether it's just music or just visual, whereas now we can provide lots of different options.
Tell me about some of the work you've done with the deaf community and why that's so important for you.
Well, I grew up in Australia, still here, not that this looks like Australia, but I'm from Australia and I grew up with two deaf friends, and they were actually the brothers of my best friend at school. And so at the age of about 6 and 7, I was just infatuated with figuring out how they were communicating with their sister. And so we'd go over to their house and play games, and I was like, how do you know what they're talking about? And so I think from such a young age, I was quite enthusiastic about learning the language to chat with them, but also learning through dance from pretty much my entire childhood. I guess felt connected with the visualness of the language. And so for me, I was just excited and enthusiastic. And since then, I've been learning sign language. However, now I'm just about to complete my interpreter's course in Australia for AUSLAN, Australian Sign Language. So fingers crossed, we'll actually come to the end of this academic journey, as well as studying my PhD in sign language and dance and movement and how we can creatively integrate those medias.
And how are you drawing on all these passion points with music, sign language, dance and movement with your new show, Emma Memma?
I guess Emma Memma has now become an outcome of this thesis of work, and not just in what we've learned in the last 10 years, traveling on the road, performing for families, but really alongside the research, now realizing that everything that we give to children visually, they're absorbing. And so everything in the frame should support that goal. And something that we realized was that we weren't doing that enough. And so Emma Memma really is a brand new children's character, but really a vehicle to explore all of this. And how can we have sign language on screen, dance that supports the sign language, the visuals supporting the sign language? Can the animation support sign language? And how does that all feed in so that everything that you're seeing on screen is the same meaning, as opposed to a generic dance move that doesn't support the actual concept?
See is the value of having a strong foundation in visual communication in order to reach and impact the young ones?
Really, a majority of children use visual language without thinking about it. It's subconscious. And most gestures and key signs and iconic signs are used by children and families before they learn how to talk. And so pointing at things, you know, indicating like that they're hungry, you know, those kinds of indications happen with children and parents and carers right off the bat. And so it's something that we're looking to support, because if those children are using those visual gestures before they learn to speak, then how can we cultivate more of that communication through not just visual language, but body language, for children to understand what emotions and expressions actually look like and what they mean, is a really key part, not just to, their fun in terms of entertainment, but in for children to learn about the world around them.
Why was it important for you to set up your own production company? What types of involvement will you have in the show and the various brand touch points, in addition to being in front of the camera?
I guess everything. It feels like this particular project was created by my husband and I. And my husband actually is the musical genie. I can't take credit because I'm not. I wish I could play an instrument really well, but I can only just play a few if I need to. But really, Ollie's sense of music and what makes a song engaging for a child audience, and also what's appropriate in terms of timing, has been important. And that's why we created this production company, to have accessibility at the forefront of all the projects that we're doing. So whilst MMM is just one point, we have a full-time deaf consultant with us, an Australian deaf consultant, and working with her to write the songs has been invaluable. And now we're creating music around the appropriate tempo for children to pick up that movement, and therefore hopefully encourages parents to also learn those signs too.
Speaking of music, to kick off the brand, I know music videos were initially released on YouTube. Curious if you could kind of talk me through that strategy of using YouTube as a platform for strong brand exposure, even ahead of the show's launch.
I mean, how great is YouTube? I mean, really, we're in such a fortunate position now where people can share media across the world on lots of different platforms. And so really we wanted to be able to use this last year to test the music and the movement and the animation. And so YouTube has been a great platform to test those features and how they're connected together, and see who's connecting with what countries are watching, and what kinds of sign language linguistics we need to take into account. So while sign language is different in every country around the world, we want to be able to use a basic set of iconic gestures so that we can connect people from all around the world without having to know a specific set of sign language skills. And so YouTube has been fantastic for that, because we can see all of that data in the back end, and that this hopefully will help us drive into other platforms like a linear series and on-demand projects. And so it just gives a really good foundation for content creators regardless.
And with the Wiggles, you were part of an established brand. With MMM, there's a new character to introduce. So how do you map out the brand's path to discovery?
It's a great question. we learned a lot in the last 10 years, but really it feels that MMM needs to be a project that can absorb all different needs. And really we want to be able to use MMM to connect with people around the world. And so I think, again, using YouTube as a starting point, we can figure out what countries and what people are watching the content and what is their need. Having that direct feedback, not just on YouTube, but on social media, means that we receive messages every day from families in so many different places about the need for visual communication on screen for children. And so I guess the pathway now is about who needs this, what do you need, give us your feedback, and we will start to develop this into a more formulated series to distribute to the world next year.
And when it comes to the visibility of sign language or the representation of people who are deaf in children's programming, in what ways do you feel the industry could be doing more to bring about meaningful change?
I mean, it's one of those areas that, has a particular sensitivity around it. And that's what's hard, I think, for people that are not native sign language users like myself. I'm not deaf myself, but I recognize the need for connection and cultural bridging. We just have such a lack of understanding about how much more representation and inclusion we need in any project. I think right now we're just not doing enough as in everyone across the world. And we've had some beautiful representations of deaf culture in media recently, with movies like Coda and having Niall in the US, you know, Dancing with the Stars, and Daniel Durant. And like, we've had some amazing, role models, particularly from North America. But in Australia, we don't have that exposure yet. And our sign language here is really important and significant, as is every other sign language in the world. So I guess the dream would just be to have other sign languages on the world stage, but also to have characters that are played by deaf artists. And we just don't have enough. And it just seems bizarre that it's not being used more. But really, we are in the best situation. We can learn from each other like this online. We can connect with other deaf artists, you know, online or when we're traveling. So really, there's no excuse. We just need to make more projects and do more.
Emma, it's a fantastic mission. And the ways that you're reaching children through movement and sign language and dance and music is really commendable. So we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us about it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.